The time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night marks the 4th anniversary of the Hour of the Time. And so we're sort of celebrating that tonight, and we'll be celebrating it Monday night. Craig Smith was going to be on for a portion of the program tonight, but he hasn't called yet. And I know he was traveling late this afternoon. He may still be on the road. So it looks like he's not going to be able to make it, at least not in the beginning of the broadcast. Maybe he will arrive at his destination and call in sometime later. We are being flooded, folks, with just terrible news. In Pennsylvania, a large group of schoolgirls were herded into the school nurse's office, where, against their will, and despite their loud protestations and crying and demands to call their mothers and fathers, they were held against their will in the nurse's office and subjected to forced genital examinations. And that has me furious. On top of that, ladies and gentlemen, we have confirmed that a fighter group of the German Luftwaffe, the German Air Force, is now stationed permanently at Holloman Air Force Base on American soil, flying the German flag above a section of the base that has been turned over to the German Air Force permanently. And thus, another one of my predictions has come to pass, unfortunately. Many of you will remember a couple of years ago when I did a broadcast telling you about the training of German pilots in the United States, that they were being flown around the country in little 8-seat planes, and it was not to train pilots, but to train the pilots in identifying the terrain for flying without any navigational aids and using the geography as their guide. You see, this is the first contingent of many. As I said then, these men are being prepared to be stationed in the United States in preparation for a United Nations peacekeeping force upon the disarming of the American people. And the first increment of that prediction has now come true. Let me go to the phone and see who this is. Hello.
Hello, Bill. It's your friend. A little bit late, but nevertheless there.
Well, I thought it was you, but I wasn't sure, so I just had to make sure.
Thank goodness for my faithful wife who reminded me over in California, and I forgot that we were back on normal time over here, so I apologize for being late.
Well, that's okay. I knew you were traveling, and I had figured that you just had not arrived yet.
We're here.
Well, wonderful. I don't know if you just heard the news that I just gave to our listening audience. What do you think about that?
Yes, and you know what's interesting, Bill? I just heard the tail end of it, but I can tell you this, that In the Phoenix area, there are talk show hosts, and I will leave them unnamed, who are basically saying, you patriots, you're so paranoid. Everything is a conspiracy to you, and yet now there is living proof of what you just discussed, and yet still the sheeple are willing, including the talk show hosts in the Phoenix area, are willing to close their eyes to what has now become reality, Bill.
Yes, that's correct, and it's becoming more and more reality, and I think this is going to be a pivotal year. I think we have yet to see the brunt of some terrible things that may happen this year. I really honestly believe that there will be a terrorist attack launched by the hidden structure of international socialism against the Olympic Games in Atlanta, and I think they're going to try to blame that on American patriots and militias. It's not going to wash because they're just as predictable as the winter snow.
Well, you know, it was amazing as I was driving over to California, Bill, on the AM stations, I was hearing the reports that the news media, and of course we know what they are, they're nothing more than the propaganda arm of your federal government, is saying that in essence what's occurring is that the militias have now said that if there's anything that occurs violently in Montana, that they will start to blow up federal buildings. And I don't know if you've covered that or not, but it was mentioned on KFI out of Los Angeles, California, that they're now pinning this, that any violence that will occur now must truly be the militias responding to what happened in Montana. And I thought to myself, how amazing it is that the average person listening to those broadcasts will really believe that trash, Bill.
Yes, it is. And no, I hadn't covered it yet, but I was going to. The news media has stated that there is a project called Project Worst Nightmare that will be launched by the militia and patriots if anything happens to the Freeman in Montana. And it's absolute baloney. It is not true. No militia in this country has launched any such project whatsoever. This comes out of the mouth of one man, a man named Stuart Waterhouse, who is a government provocateur. He is not a part of any militia. He does not belong to any militia. He does not speak for any militia. And we pinned him a long time ago.
Yeah, it's amazing when you hear that type of stuff on AM radio from a station like KFIA that speaks to millions of people in the Los Angeles basin, and you have to ask yourself probably the same question I ask myself, and that is I know hundreds of people that are members or associated with militias who love this country, who love the Lord, who are totally dedicated to maintain the sovereignty of this nation, and to paint those people with the brush of something as diabolical as an attack on a federal building or attack on the Olympics is just, in my opinion, Bill, absolutely reprehensible.
Yes, it is, but it's absolutely necessary that the socialist and communist agenda propagate that in order to be able to justify destroying the last vestige, the last remnant of brave men and women in this country who will be willing to fight to preserve the freedom of all of us and to protect and defend and, of course, restore the Constitution to its legal and lawful place and rightful place as the supreme law of the land when and if it becomes necessary. And I don't believe there's any if connected to it any longer.
Was it not that type of spirit, Bill, in the same men 220 years ago who fought for the freedom of this nation?
Yes, absolutely. And the militia today is formed lawfully and in the traditions and according to the history of this country, as they have always in time of peril and in time of need, they have come forward to face whatever foe there was to face. They have always in their history acted honorably and within the law and will continue to do so.
And thank God for them, Bill. Thank God for them. Hopefully that one vestige of freedom will never leave this nation.
No, I don't think it will, and I think it's going to be a big surprise to those who want to destroy this country when they find out just how much spirit the American people have. I have a little person here who's been waiting very impatiently to say something to you.
Hi, Craig.
Well, hi, Pooh. How are you tonight?
Fine.
How's your sister doing?
She's doing fine.
Taking good care of her?
Yeah.
That's good. You're taking good care of your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. You are so big. I haven't seen you in over a year. I can't wait to see you again. You got to be huge by now. Yeah. I bet you're doing all the cooking and everything around there now, aren't you?
I'm not doing any cooking yet.
Oh? I bet you your mom's taking care of all that, huh?
How's Katie doing?
Katie's doing terrific. Matter of fact, Holly and Katie are back in Phoenix. They've got some special things planned for the weekend. They've got some sleepovers planned, and Holly's got her SAT test tomorrow. She knows she's going to be going to college pretty soon, Pooh.
Mm.
You're about ready for college right now, though, too. I talk to your daddy all the time, and I can tell you that you're ready for college now anyway. You might as well start right now, Pooh.
Well, you know, she's shocking me out of my wits. She can read, she can print, she can count up to 200, and the other day I caught her actually writing.
Well, you know, because you're bringing her up the proper way and you're not allowing her to go to the cesspools of America called our public school system.
That's correct. And by golly, she has a brain. Every child in this country has the same brain and are capable of the same things. Unfortunately, the schools don't allow them to make use of that brain and don't teach them anything. And a lot of parents think because a child is small that they don't have the capacity to learn certain things. I don't know where that idea comes from. A child is a vacuum waiting to soak up knowledge, and their brain wants to be challenged and wants to be active. And if you would just work with them and help them, they'll learn anything that you're patient enough and willing enough to teach them.
Yeah, and I think Pooh is living proof of that. You know, Bill, as I was driving over here, my wife noticed a bumper sticker that many of us have seen that said, "Have you hugged your kids today?" And yet we saw a pickup truck that had one that said, "Have you drugged your kids today?"
Oh, no.
It seems to be that we live in a society, Bill, that now if your kid's not doing well, you pigeonhole them as an attention deficit disorder problem. You put them on some type of famous chemical and basically turn the kid into a vegetable and make him comply with the system and everything is fine. You know, Bill, we do live in some perilous times, and it's sad. I hope, and that's why I'm honored to be a part of your broadcast, that you continue to speak what you speak and do what you do and get the word out to people so people wake up. I hope you shock them to where they won't take your word for it, but do what you suggest for them to do, and that is examine the evidence and draw the conclusions that only common sense can draw. We've got some problems in this nation. And if our children are our future, we have to start looking at not the public education system to teach our children, but parents to take personal responsibility in that endeavor.
Yes, you're right. Did you hear the beginning of the broadcast where I talked about the schoolgirls in Pennsylvania?
No, I didn't hear it, but I heard the story on the news.
Yeah, it was 50-some-odd girls were herded into the nurse's, the little dispensary there at the school, and were kept against their will. They wanted to call their parents. They were not allowed to. They protested. They did not want to be examined. They cried, and they were forced to submit to genital examinations. Some of the girls say that they were penetrated. The excuse given was that they were looking for warts. Can you believe this, Craig? I am so angry about this.
Yes, I heard that on KFIA on the way out here and the commentary that was being done on it. And it's, you know, Bill, I don't understand why these things are occurring at such a rapid pace. I mean, I know we're deteriorating as a nation morally and spiritually and physically. But my goodness, I mean, you know, I can't believe there are not 100 parents that are down at the school board demanding the resignation of everybody involved in such an occurrence. I mean, it's absurd.
Well, it's more than absurd, and I'm so glad that it didn't happen to Pooh, because I don't know what I would do. I really tried to examine myself today, my feelings, and I quite honestly, I have to tell you that if that happened to Pooh, I would be a very dangerous man, and I'm so happy that it didn't, and I'm so upset that it happened to other children, and it doesn't, you know, there are some parents raising objections and complaining but nobody seems to be irate or really angry about it. And that disturbs me as much as that it ever took place.
But you know, Bill, that is exactly what you've been trying to teach people for 4+ years now, and that is that it's like anything, Bill. If you condition a person to accept a certain reality, then it becomes reality, and they accept it, and they're very comfortable in it. Anybody that listens to your broadcast that doesn't believe there's a conditioning going on in the United States of America, all they have to do is read about Pavlov and his puppies and how he was able to condition dogs. Well, people are able to be conditioned the same way, and I think your broadcast has pointed that out for years. My hope and my desire in being associated with you, Bill, is that people start to wake up to this, that they don't just write it off as some paranoid, radical person who's bringing them this message and just say, oh, it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't apply to me, but they actually listen to what you say. It sparks them to action to start investigating what's going on in this nation, because you cannot sit around anymore, listen to the radio, read the newspapers, watch the television, and not see that this nation is in a death spiral right now.
Yes, it is. And it's going to become obvious to so many people who have poo-pooed it and who have shoved it aside or refused to recognize it. Sometime, I believe, in the very near future, the programs that they're pushing and the daring that they're demonstrating and the out-and-out arrogance and disregard for human life and ethics and morals is overwhelming. It's unbelievable. 20 years ago, if the same things had happened, you would have seen a nation in arms.
Well, what do we do, Bill? That's the question. What does the average person listening to your broadcast do?
Well, the thing that I have always advised them to do is, number one, educate themselves. Once they've educated themselves and have a good foundation and know how to talk about what's happening and how to cite it and source it and document it and prove it to people, not just go and make allegations, but be able to prove it like we do on this broadcast. And that's why I give them the sources and the documentation and all of the things, the tools that they need to be able to do that. But they also must prepare. Everyone should have at least a 2-year supply of food. They should have enough clothing and blankets and all of that kind of thing that they will need to last them for 2 years. All of the necessities of life that they cannot live without, they must have supplies to last for 2 years. And water. They must have weapons and ammunition, and they must have a source of spiritual nourishment, and they must have something that will function for money when this paper, counterfeit paper system, collapses. And that's why we accepted you about 3 years ago as our sponsor, so that you could provide that. And they must join a militia or form a militia and actively train and be ready, if and when the time comes, to protect their family and their community and maintain law and order during a complete breakdown of society as we know it, as this new world order struggles to be born. And if we can do these things, then we have a good chance to be able to overcome the socialist, communist enemy amongst us and restore the republic and save freedom, not just for the American people, but for the world. You know, this is a worldwide broadcast, and my message has been to the world, not just to America. And basically it is to all countries who listen to this broadcast every night, and I know there are millions of people outside of the United States who do listen. We get many, many letters from foreign countries. And my message is, we are the last bastion, the last holdout, the last line in protection of freedom for the world. And if we lose here in this country, then the whole world steps backward in the evolution of humankind, back into the slavery that we finally escaped from when our founding fathers came here and broke the yoke and made every man and woman a sovereign king and queen in their own right. And for the first time in history upon this earth, the common man stood free.
You know, the United States, Bill, for years, as I think, as you're talking tonight, has always been the envy of the world. They always looked at our freedom and recognized our freedom and literally were jealous about what we had here in the United States. And yet now I'm thinking about nations like Iran and Iraq that call us the Great Satan. I used to get angry when I heard that, Bill, but I wonder just how far they are from being off when you think about, yes, there are many people that listen to this broadcast, all to the earth, that love God, that love this country. But what about the ones that walk in this nation in perversion and untruth and deception? Are those nations really that far off at this point to call us the Great Satan? I love this country, and I believe in this country, and I believe our best days can be yet ahead of us, Bill. But it's going to come when people start realizing, as you said, that we've been lied to. You know, as you were talking, Bill, I thought about the money system in itself. We have a Federal Reserve that's not federal and has no reserves, yet we call it the Federal Reserve. We just printed $85 billion worth of new $100 bills and put them into circulation. That is a 21% increase in the amount of paper money that's in circulation as it relates to the United States currency in the world today. That is an actual 21% increase in our money supply. We have gas prices going up. All of a sudden, prices are shooting up overnight, and yet the government says everything's okay. It just doesn't make any sense to me anymore, Bill. I mean, if you look at what's happened in the real money world, and you look at what's happened with creating money out of thin air, to be able to tell the American people, relax, don't worry, everything's fine, is nuts. The bond market, I found a statistic the other day that just blew me away, Bill. If you bought bonds in January of 1996, you have now lost the next 2.5 years of interest just to regain what you lost in principal depreciation. So people basically who bought bonds, the long bond in January of 96, Bill, made the government a 2.5 year interest-free loan, and yet most people don't have a clue.
And that's exactly what inflation does. What you're talking about is inflation, a tremendous amount of inflation. And everybody's scratching their head wondering what's happening. Why are the prices going up on top of droughts and bad weather and crops that are being burned for a non-existent fungus and all kinds of other things? On top of that, they've added inflation, so food is going to skyrocket and already is. Gasoline prices are going up. Prices of other goods and services are increasing. And the American people not having a basic foundation of education into what makes an economy work, what is inflation, what is depression, what is a recession, and some of these words are just coined to confuse people, have no meaning whatsoever. They don't know anything to do except to believe what the government tells them, unfortunately.
And you know what's amazing? We live in an economy that inflates and recesses. And have this belief, and this is my personal opinion, Bill, we have this belief in America that you can get wealth without work. Not how our system is designed. That same promise of wealth without subsequent work directly correlated with it was the same promise that caused the Great Depression of 1929. And true wealth is only made when work is exerted. Yet we've got people playing the stock market. Look at the lotteries all over the United States now. Matter of fact, when we drove in here to San Diego, California, there's a place called Viejas Gambling Casinos. I guess it's on the Indian Reservation out here. And we passed through there around 7, a little bit past 7. It was interesting, Bill, that the parking lot was absolutely jam-packed. Why? Because people had cashed their paychecks and now we're at the gambling casinos. They want a promise of wealth without work. Bill, you know as well as I do, that's not what created the greatness of this nation. It was our founding fathers working and struggling and sacrificing and fighting to maintain the freedom and protect the sovereignty of our money system away from the Bank of England that made us great. I just hope we never lose that desire to want to fight and work for what we have, Bill, because in that day, I think there is no hope for this nation.
No, and you're absolutely right. But that's the great appeal of socialism. It appeals to the base nature of the human status or the human being, and promises something for nothing. And that's a heady temptation for a lot of people. They don't know that it's a deception because somebody has to work to provide that something for nothing for all of the nobodies who get it. And when that sort of thing happens, basically what you have is a bankruptcy of the human condition. You have a loss of self-respect. You have a loss of esteem. You have a loss of opportunity. Those who work do so at their peril, because they will be sucked dry, withered up, and thrown away, while those who do nothing live off of the fruits of their efforts, for which they get little or nothing.
You know, Bill, Holly's getting ready to go to college soon. So we're looking at colleges, and it's so difficult to find a good Christian private college, you know, that will give our daughter the education we think that she so will desperately need for her future. But you know what I found out? Well, this is an interesting statistic. You probably know it already, but it came as revelation to me the other night, that about 25% of a student's college tuition goes to pay for students that can't afford to attend. Now, from the surface, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? The haves helping the have-nots, if you will. And we're told this is the way it's supposed to be, a level playing field. We're supposed to help one another out. But when I read my Bible, Bill, I see that charity is not induced by a government, but in fact induced by an unction of the Holy Spirit. That if I'm to provide charity for somebody, I want to do it because it's from my heart to do it and not enforced by a government. And yet today, not only does the government do it through taxation, but now we're even seeing our private institutions like our college increase tuitions enough so that the students that can't afford to go are paid for by the students that can afford to go. If that wasn't the case, college tuitions would come down an average across this nation by $4,000 a year, which there and of itself would make it more affordable for others to go.
Yes. There's a lot more to it than that, but you're right. The college systems, I believe, are being evolved into a system that is actually going to deprive people of a college education sometime in the near future, except for a very small of the very wealthiest families. And I believe that this is a part of the design of dumbing America down and contributing to the new educational program, which will choose children at a very young age and channel them into certain professions from which they cannot escape, even if they hate those professions. And if you're channeled to be an auto mechanic, you're going to be an auto mechanic. If you're channeled to be a ditch digger, you're going to be a ditch digger. If you're channeled to be a doctor, a medical doctor, you're going to be a medical doctor, even if you hate medical doctoring and can't stand the sight of blood. And only those people who are chosen for professions that actually need a college education will be given a college education. The rich will pay for it themselves, and those who cannot pay for it will be helped out by this socialist system. And everyone else will be absolutely denied.
It's crazy. I mean, I sit here and I think about this, Bill, and I say to myself, how in the world do we get this far off track? Was it a direct result of the media spoon-feeding this pablum to the American people?
Well, I think it's a very carefully followed plan over the years. I believe when Khrushchev beat on the desk at the United Nations with his shoe and said, "We will bury you. We do not have to invade you. You will be destroyed from within." But he knew exactly what he was talking about. The deciphering of the Venona project, the cables sent from the United States during World War II to the Soviet Union and after World War II that have finally been deciphered and released to the public, prove that Joseph McCarthy was absolutely correct. Not only was he absolutely correct, but he knew the exact number of Soviet agents who had penetrated our government and were destroying us from within. And Joseph McCarthy was destroyed by the communist and Marxist socialist controlled press in his day that vilified him and the Marxists and communists in Hollywood who vilified Joseph McCarthy and began a propaganda brainwashing campaign against the American people that has resulted in a controlled press, media, and entertainment industry that puts Pravda and the control mechanism of the old Soviet Union to shame. They have perfected it to the nth degree. Joseph Goebbels would be so proud of these people.
You know what I don't understand, though, Bill? There's always, and maybe you can answer this for me. We see all of the communism and the socialist nations basically crumbled within, let's say, 75 years of their inception, with the exception of maybe communist Red China, and they even have their problems now, and they're moving towards a true economic reform as it relates to a true marketplace. But what's amazing to me is when communism and socialism so grossly failed throughout the world, why in the world did the Clintons and the Clintonistas, if you will, back in Washington, D.C., and so many of these congressmen and senators and these liberals that are running Washington, D.C., why do they want...
Well, Craig, it's very simply that they know what I know and many others who have studied this vast conspiracy know and predicted before it happened. You see, I predicted the fall of the Berlin Wall. I predicted the opening up of the Iron Curtain and the phony peace that has followed, and so did others. It's simply because we know that the entire Cold War was arranged between Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt in order to be able to bilk enough money out of the peoples of the world to create the technology that would be used to rule with an iron fist in the New World Order. And that this supposed clash of ideals between communism and capitalism, the East and the West, would result in a synthesis of the two, which will be a Marxist-socialist totalitarian world government. So for this to come about, there had to be the illusion that one or the other had failed. Since we had moved so far into socialism, you couldn't allow this system to collapse because since we were so far into socialism, the melding of what was left would have resulted in another communist world, and that's not what the plan calls for. So communism had to seem to fall and go into a democracy stage. Democracy is nothing but a code word for socialism. Lenin said democracy is indispensable to socialism. Marx said that peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. So we all know, those of us who have studied this, what is happening. If you read Gorbachev's book, Perestroika, he tells you right in there that the fall of the Soviet Union is a deception and that there's going to be a socialist world government. He makes no secret about it whatsoever. A high-ranking Soviet general wrote a book outlining the deception, the big lie, that there would be a fall, a fall of the communist Soviet Union. And while the West was disarmed and wasn't looking, socialism would take over the world. So, he said this long before the Soviet Union supposedly fell. Also, it didn't fall. You have to understand that in the Soviet Union, the ruble was what the government said it was. It was not floated on the international monetary exchange. So how could their economy fall? How could it fail? It fell because they said it fell, and for no other reason. It didn't happen from the bottom up. It happened from the top down.
So in essence, when we went from the constitutional republic that we were created for or under the laws of theocracy and move to a democracy, meaning laws of man versus laws of God, we basically started a process that I think from what you're saying is very difficult to stop.
Yes, it's the same thing happened in the Soviet Union, and it's called democracy, which is socialism in disguise. You see, communists don't like socialism, and neither do capitalists. Americans, freedom lovers, don't like socialism. People are used to total control and having everything decided for them don't like socialism. So they have to disguise it by making people think that they're getting something wonderful, and they disguise it under this word democracy. Americans have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. The Russian people and those who used to be under the Soviet bloc have not swallowed it. They want their old communism back because that was comfortable. They did not have to have any degree of responsibility or take any risks whatsoever. And over here in this country, we've taken risks and worked so hard for so long that everybody's looking for an easy way out. They want to be spoon-fed. They want to be taken care of. They believe that they're entitled to something for nothing, which is a deception. And so we're going to meet in the middle, and this is going to be a totalitarian socialist world government, except for one group of people who will resist it unto the death. And the group of people in America who love freedom, who understand the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded and based and what made it great, and understand exactly what we're going to lose in this process. And we, quite frankly, because I count myself among them, would rather be dead than enslaved in that system.
You know, it's amazing, Bill. I think about the founding fathers. I thought about this a couple weeks ago when I was out here in San Diego, how the founding fathers that really fought for our freedom. And, you know, if you think about the way that wars were fought back 220 years ago, if you were on the front line, your chances of coming home were pretty slim. And yet these guys knew that they would probably go to the battlefield and die for a freedom that they would never get the opportunity to enjoy. But they were so self-sacrificing that they were willing to do it for future generations to come. I hope we haven't got to the point in this nation, Bill, have come to the point in this nation where most people are so worried about themselves, me, my, you know, us type of mentality, that we're not willing to sacrifice for future generations. Because really, when you think about the founding fathers, they never got to see the freedom that they fought for. And I know that millions of people listen to this broadcast internationally, and we are moving, or the world seems to be moving, to this new world order. How do those people in the foreign lands, Bill, couple their energies and their resources and their desires for freedom with Americans like you and myself to stop this insidious invasion of a new world order?
Well, I think we're beginning to see a tremendous resistance to this new world order. It's always been in this country, and the movement against it is growing at a rapid rate, and it's beginning to pick up speed in other countries. Unfortunately, they don't have the freedom to act and to protest and to take a stand as we do. Most of their efforts are underground, in secret, but I can assure you that it is happening. And there are clandestine publications springing up in Europe, in Australia, and in some African countries, all over the place. Of course, the people in what used to be known as the Soviet Union are divided into two distinct types of, actually three. There's a tremendous underworld over there of criminals that have sprung up when the tight controls of communism were taken away. And then there is a large group, the majority of the people, who want to go back to communism. And then there is a small, hardcore group of freedom lovers and freedom fighters who always resisted the communist regime, even when it was in place, and are reveling in their newfound freedoms, even though they're not as free as they think they are, and understand that a move back into communism or into world government is detrimental to their lifelong fight for freedom. So all is not lost, and throughout history, it has been proven over and over and over again that all it takes to affect a win for your side is a determination, a lack of fear, a willingness to die for your cause, and 3 to 5% of the population willing to fight for that cause. And in some instances throughout the history of the world, one single person has been able to make the difference. So
Your message has never been lower the lifeboats and abandon the boat.
Oh, never. And it never will be.
It's just time to get the boat back away from the icebergs and off the sand barges, if you will.
Yes. And to be responsible, to exercise judgment and extreme caution. And when you decide to take an action, make sure that it is the right action and will be judged as the right action by the majority of the people, even those who may not be with you in all of your efforts and goals. It is absolutely important that we have the blessings of the people, whatever we do, because without that, it'd be very difficult to win.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we could talk for hours at end. It always fascinates me when I talk to you, Bill. You always worry me a little bit when we talk, but you also give me a lot of courage and encouragement to know that we can win this fight if we stay focused, which, you know, I'd like to take a moment, if I could, to congratulate you and Annie on the valiant job, if that's the proper word to use, that you've done over the last 3 years with the Hour of the Time broadcast and forging through many obstacles that you and I are both aware of, and keeping your eye focused on the goal, and that is to bring truth and the message of freedom to a world that is clearly steeped into this whole euphoria of believing that everything comes for nothing and that freedom is free, when in fact it's not. And so I know there'll probably be hundreds of people, if not thousands, that will be congratulating you on what tomorrow will be quite an accomplishment, if you ask me, and that is to be able to have voiced this message of truth for over 3 years now.
And yeah, it's actually our fourth anniversary, and you've been with us for 3 of those years.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were in it for 4 years altogether.
And yeah.
Who would have thought 4 years ago, Bill, that as many people would have heard, as many people would have responded, and quite frankly, as many people would have been as well informed as they are now? I wouldn't even call it a minor miracle. I think I call it a major miracle. I think I would call it the hand of God, Bill.
Well, I certainly hope it's the hand of God. I know that I never dreamed that we would last a week, much less 4 years. And I remember a conversation when you first wanted to sponsor this broadcast, and we looked into your background and your company and decided to allow you to sponsor this broadcast, and I gave you a warning right then that this broadcast probably wouldn't last because of the content and the controversy surrounding it, and the fact that I refused to pull any punches and do anything other than tell it exactly like it is. And by golly, you said whether it lasts a week or forever, you were with us to the end, and by golly, you always have been. When WWCR burned to the ground, most people would have bailed out instantly with that warning. And instead, you garnered your people and got us back on the air within 24 hours with WRNO. And you've taken some big hits because of this broadcast. And some big people and some big media have gone after you to try to get you to stop sponsoring this kind of programming. So, you know, a good portion of the credit is in your lap, Craig. And I'm going to make sure that the world knows that, and from all of us here, you have our heartfelt thanks.
Well, I take no credit at all, and Bill, those are simple things to do. You know, I've kind of gotten used to, through the years, people ridiculing, especially in the newspaper, anybody that does things right and continues to do them. It's kind of like yourself. You know, you go out and speak the truth every night, and that probably hacks a lot of people off, and it just comes with the territory, the attacks. And I guess you never get used to your name being in the paper or being hammered. But you kind of take it each time a little bit better than you did the last time. You know, I've been in many publications, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, USA Today, Time Magazine, it goes on and on. I've been on all the major networks. And I can tell you that a couple times I've been hammered as a direct result of my association with you, I consider it an honor, Bill, because they don't hammer you if you're not doing something right. And, you know, the clear-cut indication that your message is getting through are the two exposés that were done first on you in our paper in Phoenix, and then, of course, they came after me right behind you. I feel like I'm in pretty good company, Bill.
Well, thank you. You're talking, of course, about the Arizona Repugnant.
Well, we call it the Arizona Repulsive.
Yeah, well, either way, it's right on.
But you know what's funny about those guys, and you know this, Bill, and you had cautioned me, you had given me a heads up about talking with them, and I've always felt like, you know, when you have nothing to hide, you speak, and you tell the truth, and now I've learned through your counsel that sometimes it's smarter not to say anything, because the media are the only people in the world that I know, Bill, that can take a truthful statement and edit it to make it sound untruthful.
Yes, and not only that, to make you sound like a raving idiot when, in fact, you were logical and reasonable and right and laying things out and give them documentation. I handed a guy the documentation for what I was talking about. He says, I don't want to see that.
Right. Well, the fellow that interviewed you and tried to interview me.
Well, that's the problem. He didn't interview me. He lied and said that he did. I refused to grant him an interview.
That's right. Excuse me for the allow me the correction there. You're right, because after that, I wouldn't speak to him either. And yet, all kinds of my quotes ended up in the article, and I was curious to know where he got those quotes from.
Well, he makes them up out of his own head is where he gets them.
You know, but then, in fairness to the Republic, there's been other articles that were quoted reasonably close to the truth on some other issues, but nothing that was ever accurate. But you know something? I guess that's just the world that they live in, Bill. But you know something? No matter how deep the attack, no matter how big the caliber of bullet they send our way, as you told me early on when I first met you, you said, Craig, they're going to have to kill me to stop me from telling the world and the American people what the truth is.
That's right.
What impressed me so much, Bill, was the fact, and I'm not trying to butter you up here, but this is your anniversary, and I didn't send you a gift, so I'm going to give you one on the air here. What impressed me so much about you, Bill, is that you didn't want people to blindly follow what you said to them. Quite to the contrary, you wanted them to almost challenge what you were teaching them, to get the documentation, to research it, to form their own opinions, that you did not want, and excuse this expression for a lack of a better term, a cult-type mentality where if Bill Cooper said it, everybody followed it. You wanted just the opposite. You wanted, hey, if I say it, you go check it out for yourself. You look at the documentation. You form your own opinion, and then you make your decisions according to that thinking process. To me, Bill, that in and of itself is of the utmost value to your listeners because you're teaching people how to think. And I think in America and throughout the world, with the advent of television and sporting events and video and movies and all these things, we've been conditioned to stop thinking. You are basically turning the key on that and saying, I want you to think. Take this information and run it through your processor, and you come up with your opinions. And that's why I'm honored. You know, I know your family. I've never got to meet the new baby yet, but, you know, Pooh is the sweetest little thing in the world. Annie, I love to death. You know, you're very dear to me, and I respect what you're doing, Bill. You know, I love you, and I will always do anything I can to support your efforts. But I hope and pray that the American people and the world hear your heart, Bill, because if they merely get the surface message, they're missing the biggest part of what you do. And what you do is try and share your heart with people, where you tell people, please, I beg you, wake up, examine the facts. Matter of fact, you get so frustrated sometimes, Bill, you have to go off on people. Take them up and get them to think about what's occurring. Because if we stop thinking, Bill, in my opinion, we lose the battle. But if we start to rethink, and we turn off the TV and turn off the videos and turn off the movies and start going back thinking about what men like you were saying, I think this nation's got great hope ahead of it. And so I'm very blessed, Bill, to be a part of what you're doing. I consider it a great honor to be one of your sponsors, and hopefully till the day I die, I'll be able to be there.
Well, thank you, Craig. I really appreciate what you said, and your assessment is absolutely correct. I think that Americans have, and not just Americans, but people all over the world have become so used to trusting and believing and following what someone else tells them that they have been led down the primrose path. And unless that I and many others can convince them to stop listening to people and blindly believing me, their mother, I don't care who it is, and begin to research and document and think and arrive at their own conclusions and follow those conclusions. Something else has happened too, Craig. People have lost their ability to judge things according to common sense. And my grandmother, I was very fortunate to have a grandmother who, whenever I went to her to ask her anything, the first thing she would ask me is, did you give it the common sense test? And if I hadn't, she'd make me go sit down and think about it and then come and tell her, you know, what my conclusion was. And then we'd sit down and talk about common sense and how to use it. And then she would help me arrive at an answer. But she never just, you know, told me an answer and told me to scurry on and, you know, get away because I was bothering her or something. She taught me how to think. She also taught me how to read. She started reading to me before I could even talk. And before I ever started school, I could read and was reading books like Robin Hood and things like that. But it was because of her and her patience and her willingness to spend time with me and teach me. And I've never forgotten that, and I owe that really to her more than anyone else in this world.
Well, you know, you were raised in a time, Bill, where it didn't take two people 40 hours a week to pay the same bills that it used to take one person only 40 hours a week to do. I mean, nowadays parents and grandparents are all working so hard on the treadmill of life to pay all their taxes and everything that they barely have time to breathe. And it's just another sign of the time of how our economy has deteriorated. And you know, Bill, on this fourth anniversary, I know how much you are dedicated to transfer of information, and I know that you're probably well aware of what's happening with electronic money, with e-cash, how cyber cash is now quickly moving into our system. There was a new report written by Franklin Sanders. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, Bill. It's entitled E-Money, Paradise or Prison.
No, I haven't.
I started to write a report on cyber cash and electronic money, and I was so devastated with what I saw, I stopped writing the newsletter, and because I thought maybe I was just doing it out of, you know, I mean, I'm in the gold business. I sell coins for a living. Maybe I lost my perspective on it. I sent all my information to Franklin Sanders, and I had Franklin Sanders write a white paper entitled E-Money, Paradise or Prison. And, Bill, for any of the Hour of the Time listeners, as a little special offer for your fourth anniversary, if they call our offices in Phoenix and ask for E-Money, Paradise, or Prison, we'll send it out to them at no charge. I'd like them to mention your fourth anniversary. We're listening to Bill Cooper. He's in his fourth year. You know, we're behind what Bill does. If you'd like to get a complimentary copy, there's no obligation. It will explain to you what's going on with electronic money, with cyber cash, and how it can either provide a great paradise or a financial prison where you'll be handcuffed to a smart card, a computer chip, and a mark that the Bible clearly tells us we shouldn't take. And they can always, you know, call our offices. You'll probably get an answering machine now or call during the week at 1-800-289-2646. If they've listened to your broadcast for any length of time, I'm sure they know the number well, Bill. It spells out 1-800-BUYCOIN, BUYCOIN. And we'll make a copy of that available as long as they make sure that we know they're Hour of the Time supporters and listeners. More importantly, they're paying attention to what they're being taught, Bill.
Wonderful. That's great. Would you send me one, too?
In the mail on Monday.
I listen to the Hour of the Time every night.
Better. I know the boss over there, Annie.
Yeah.
Bad if you don't.
Well, then you know a secret a lot of people that she is the boss.
Sure. And you know something? You're lucky to have a precious partner and workmate that God has provided you and Annie.
Yes.
To see you through, because I'm going to tell you something. There are very few women that put up with you, William.
And there are very few women that not only would put up with me, but would stick around for 10 minutes with what I'm doing.
She's definitely a lady of great backbone and true character.
And great loyalty, I've got to say that. Well, Craig, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight, and I thank you for all the kind words that you have had for this broadcast and for me and mine. Our relationship has been wonderful. You know, you're the only person that I know of, I tried to relay this to the people out there who really don't quite understand the relationship here, is that no matter through thick or thin, good times or bad times, whether you've gotten any calls from this program or not, you have always stood solidly behind me and the Hour of the Time because of the message that we're putting out. And you have told me that if there's any problems whatsoever, that all I have to do is call you and tell you what to do, and you'll do it. And I don't believe there's another businessman in this country that would make such a statement and stand behind their product and this audience and this broadcast as you have done.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you saying that. You know, there is no free lunch in this world, and we try and explain to people that when they get involved in products like coins and what have you, there are certain risks and certain costs that are involved. But we always want to make sure that people throughout the country, are happy with our services at the company. But, you know, there's certain things, though, you can't put a price on. And one of those things is a service that you do. As you know, we've talked about it before. As long as I have the ability, and I just believe God will always give me the ability because he knows the message is important, we'll be there to continue to support future broadcasts so that we can wake up the world. Because you know something, Bill? This nation, when I look at your children and my children and what we've been through as a nation, is just too precious to allow it to be flushed down the toilet. And I believe that when people couple their resources together with your voice of truth and our ability to help get that voice on the air, I think those type of partnerships are what will turn this nation around. So we hope to be here another 3 years, Bill, hopefully another 30 years.
Wonderful. Thank you, Craig, and thank you for being with us tonight. I really appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule and, of course, your time off with your family in order to do this.
Well, my best to yours and your family, and God bless you. We love you and respect you very, very, very much.
God bless you too, Craig, and good night.
Bye now.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now I have to do something for me. And for mine, and for the Second Continental Army of the Republic, this is for Bill Johnson, who recently died, a fallen warrior, so to speak, in the cause of freedom. And I hope that wherever he is, he hears this. And to all of you listening, I really deeply appreciate, and it has made me so happy, that so many of you have responded to this broadcast by waking up, by taking part, by doing your share, by educating others, and by helping us in this battle for freedom. We're going to win it, or it's going to be the last we're going to see of freedom on the face of this earth for a long time. Good night. and God bless you all.